shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe. 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal tonight on WGN, and we've got a great show. We're going to have some Mexican folk music, and we're going to go down to Memphis and look at a Red Grooms exhibit in a little bit. But we're going to start off with our annual Christmas segment with our friends John Sauce, great Christmas collector from Jam Productions. Can I say that, John?
You can, yeah.
Yeah. And our friend Lucy Smith, who's been on the show before, singer, songwriter, musician. And Lucy, you've got a new record out we're going to get to in a minute. The Lucy Smith Quartet singing Christmas.
Yes.
So before we get into the specifics, I just kind of wanted to go general and ask you guys, since this is both one of your passions, what makes a good Christmas song? What's the craft that goes into a really timeless Christmas song?
Well, I yeah. We were talking about this, I think, a little bit a few days ago, and a good Christmas song, or like a commercially successful Christmas song, you know?
Yeah, one of my criteria is something that maybe I could listen to all year, you know? Something that really holds up, you know?
Right.
It has a message maybe year round.
Yeah, and we songs that actually do talk about that exact thing, which is why can't we take the spirit of Christmas and spread that every day throughout the year and not just one time, you know, and then go back to our usual bad habits afterwards. That's what that Bill Withers track is that we talked about last week, which is let us love one another all year round, not just on that one day.
Right.
You know, so, and that's a tune that you could listen to any time of the year.
Yeah, we're going
to
play that in a little bit. Lucy, when you did your CD, how'd you pull the songs together, and what was your criteria?
Well, I think it was a combination of stuff that I had been working on, and there has to be, to me, musically, kind of the hip factor. So even if it's a song that people are really familiar with, harmonically, it needed to be interesting enough for me wanting to arrange it a little bit more, or having this wonderful collaboration with the other musicians that I work with, so that we could make it ours, but at the same time, definitely paying homage to, you know, these songs. But, you know, what rides everything, though, is message, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's sometimes it can appear to be rather corny that we're always talking about peace and love, but man, we need some peace and love, and so I'm not going to ever get tired of doing that and singing about that.
You know, I was telling John, I wanted to bring you on the show. You sent me the CD. It was just, it was unusual. Why, I don't get a lot of independent Christmas music. Why? What was your idea in doing this? Why'd you want to do this?
Well, one of my long-standing gigs is I'm the music director for the jazz service at Fourth Presbyterian. And so over this 6.5+ years, I've arranged and rearranged both songs for the congregation and then for the band. And there were always requests from some of the folks in the congregation and other people, you know, to make this available. And, you know, I didn't think that was necessarily viable, but I was wrong. And it's what people want. There's a desire for it. And it's musically interesting music. And we got to have some fun, you know, from grooving to silence to, you know, to creating space. And so it's wonderfully varied in that regard.
Again, we're going to play a little bit of it, but just give us a couple titles from the record. You might as well say how people can find it too, but give Silent Night is on it.
LucySmithJazz.com. Just go there and there'll be all kind of little clicks that you can do to buy the song, and you can download it. You can get the physical CD, LucySmithJazz.com. It's called Singing Christmas.
And how many musicians on it? We've got
there's five of us.
Five, yeah.
Well, Greg Ward, he's on alto sax. He's on three of the cuts, but it's mostly me and the trio.
John, I like asking this every year. How many pieces of vinyl and stuff do you have? Do you ever count that up?
Yeah, I remember you asked me this last year.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, between albums and 45s and tapes and MP3s now, I think it's probably hovering in the 2000 range.
2000 range.
You know, which sounds like a lot, but compared to some other like nut job collectors that I know, it's not really too out of hand.
Yeah. That's your Christmas collection, though.
Yeah, that's just Christmas.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my goodness.
What's your favorites?
You know,
or does it vary?
My favorites are often things that kind of had an experience to go with them. You know, one of the first records I think I started when I collected was a Jimmy Boyd record called, he was a child singer back in the 40s or 50s, probably 50s, called Reindeer Rock. And, you know, there is an Elvis record, an album called The Wonderful World of Christmas that he cut down in Memphis that has some really good recordings on it. You know, you wouldn't think that maybe Elvis would have made a great Christmas record, but he really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dynamite. Yeah.
You got a future down in Graceland there. Mm-hmm. For both of you, do you prioritize? I asked about what makes a good song, but is there a priority, whether it be the music, just the emotion you're trying to convey, the words in the song? I mean, is there any pecking order there, or is it?
You know, mine is my criteria is usually, is this something I want to listen to if I'm decorating my tree,
mm-hmm.
or if I'm having some friends over who may or may not have the same appreciation for Christmas holiday music as I do. But so it could be like just a jazzy version. Like last year, a really terrific Hammond B3 player put out a Christmas record, and she did Sleigh Ride. And we've all heard Sleigh Ride a zillion times, but her version was so great. It's now one of my most played songs for the holiday.
Uh-huh.
So that's it. That thing of decorating the Christmas tree and kind of being in that mood is what works for me.
Same question for you, Lucy.
I guess, you know, there's a draw. I mean, there's something, you know, that's not tangible, you know, about music, right? That we can't articulate the feeling. And so I don't know why some pieces of music are more emotionally charging than others, but that's what, at least for me, what happened with this project. There is an emotional charge for every single one of these pieces. And that's why they're on there. Oh, I need to come closer to the mic. And plus, there's you know we're in a space where we need to also have some fun, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we need to have permission to not let all of the stuff that's making our necks so tight consume us. And music really gives us that release too, right?
Yeah. So, when did you record this?
In September,
yeah.
So not that long ago at all. My goodness.
I always hear these stories, especially in Nashville, where they decorate this, like they'll do a record in July or August and they'll decorate it. You know, they'll put, you know, white snow in the studio and Christmas trees and stuff. Do you do anything when you're recording this in non-season?
No. I mean, because this is this is a Christmas album, but this is also a jazz album, and so but it covers the spectrum of jazz, so you know, we've got some blues, we've got some definitely some funk, there's some traditional swinging pieces, and then there's some that we really, you know, make use of space and let the music happen, as generic as that sounds, but it really is. And that's what happens with In Silent Night and what might be a little bit different. I mean, some of these tunes go all the way back to the 12th century.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, so being able to present the hipness of these tunes from that are that old, it's just incredible.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, and then we're actually come back with some Christmas music after some spots here on WGN.
When the snowman brings the snow, he might just like to know. He put a great big smile on somebody's face. When you jump into your bed, pull the covers right over your head. But don't you lock the doors, you know Santa Claus is on his way.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. We're here with Lucy Smith and John Soss, fans of Christmas. That's a peppy song there, John. Tell us about Nick Lowe's version of that.
Yeah, that was, I think the reason I suggested that to you was that.
I'm depressed.
It's because I got the impression that you needed to be sold that Christmas music could make you feel like it was the holiday time and you could get in the spirit. And that one, I don't know if you knew that that was actually a song from 1973.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it was
back when I was happy.
Right. And that came out in 73 by a band called Wizard. And it's been done many, many times since then. But when I heard Nick's version, it came out 3 years ago, it just really like grabbed a hold. You said, you know, things are intangible, Lucy, but and that's sometimes it just gets right in your head right away and you think, this really works for me. And I didn't recognize it as the old hit because Nick Lowe made it sound like his own song.
Yeah. How much of it is just Nick? I'm a big Nick Lowe fan. And how much of it is just Nick being a fun guy?
I think that's a big part of it. I think when he made that record, he was trying to do something loose and lighthearted and get people sort of into the spirit. He toured for at least 2 years during the Christmas season performing those songs, and I think he got great feedback. Like, it works. People like it, and he's a great deliverer, not only of his own songs, but of other people's writing, too.
Lucy, in your work with the church, and you are on you're going to be doing this Sunday, December 18th at 3:50 p.m. at 4th Presbyterian Church.
Yeah, it's a 4 o'clock jazz service.
And will you be playing Christmas stuff?
Yeah, so it's their they're going to do lessons and carols. And so it's going to be selections from the CD surrounded with, you know, stories of what Christmas is to be. And, and there will be all of us will be there. So it'll be the quartet and Greg Wart will join us too on alto.
And you also work with Sleep in Chicago. We can talk about that in a minute. Where I'm going at with this, and the reason I wanted you have it on, is I know about your commitment to social causes. So what we were just touching on, we were even talking in the green room, Christmas, you know? I mean, I was saying last year, maybe I was internally bummed out. This year, maybe more externally because of some of the stuff that's going on in the air right now. What do you hear from your constituents, and when you go out and play? What do you hear in church? What do you go out when you, and even when you're not playing? What do you hear from people?
Well, we had the big CD release concert last Sunday at this great place up in Evanston called Studio 5, and the overwhelming feedback was thank you, I needed that, we needed that, and I have to tell you, you know, I mean, I seriously gave pause to it's like. Why am I doing this right now? All things considered, everything that's going on in the world right now, I'm seriously going to sing about the little drummer boy. And but the more I internalized it and the more you think about it, it just makes me, you know, recommit to doing what I do. And yes, no, all my music isn't about, you know, this holiday. And I think the other thing that we haven't necessarily been talking about is like what, not just what makes a great Christmas song, all these different things that Christmas means to, you know, what does Christmas mean, period. I mean, that's the deep conversation that we could, you know, devour multiple bottles of wine over, and how to represent that message, you know, whether it's commercial or religious or some weird combination or none of those things, is just an opportunity for us to have fellowship with each other, right?
John, you, I know I just learned today you're doing a DJ appearance Thursday.
Right, next Thursday, the 15th, my friend Andy Surzan and I are spinning Christmas records at Logan Hardware over on Fullerton.
Have you done, this will be the first one of the season?
It's the first thing we've done this year, yeah. And
because it's the same question, really. What's the mood you're feeling in the Christmas world right now?
Well, you know, I think for me, I think what we're really talking about here is what's happening in the world of politics and how that's affecting the worldview of us and how it's going to impact our lives in at least the next 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you know the country's been through some pretty rough times around the holiday season. You know, Pearl Harbor was mm-hmm. in December. John Lennon was killed in December. You know, mm-hmm. Sandy Hook, just what, 5-6 years ago, that was like mm-hmm. a week before Christmas or something like mm-hmm. that. So, I feel like we need that. We need what Christmas is all about more so in these bad times than ever, because the whole peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right? I mean, that's kind of ground zero for Christmas.
Yes.
You know, Santa Claus came later, apparently, but that's where it started, and that's we need that amongst each other, and we shouldn't set it aside just because there's of somebody else's actions.
Right.
I'm not going to surrender my Christmas. I'm not, like, if I eat a good, you know, fried chicken dinner, it's not going to taste not as good because of who's going to be president next year. I'm not giving those things up.
That's well put.
You know?
Yeah.
My fried chicken tastes a little bit off right now, though, too. I'm still processing. So.
Okay, we're going to be back. I want to get more into that. I do have that on my agenda, things to talk about. So we're going to take a break with David Jennings in the news, and we'll be back with more Christmas music on WGN.
Jesus going to be here. He's gonna be here soon. He's gonna cover us up with leaves, with a blanket from the moon, with a promise and a vow, and a lullaby for my brow. Jesus gonna be here. Gonna be here soon. Not gonna do nothing but wait here. I don't have to shout. I got me no reason, and I got no doubt. I'm gonna get myself unfurled from this mortal coiled up world. And Jesus gonna be here, gonna be here soon. Got to keep my eyes wide open.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN with John Soss and Lucy Smith. That's the Lucy Smith Quartet doing Jesus Gonna Be Here from her record Singing, I still call them records, Singing Christmas. You know, 13 songs on this record, Lucy, that probably is my favorite one.
Right.
Well,
on.
It's a Tom Waits. Tell us, I mean, Tom Waits. How'd Tom Waits end up on this?
You know, actually, one of the preachers, he's no longer a Fourth Presbyterian. John Vest totally turned me on to Tom Waits. I have to admit, six years ago, I really wasn't into him. I'm totally into him now. Sins of My Father. I mean, just the writing that he does with his wife is just incredible.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it was just on spot and incredible writing. And we tried to make it ours, but I think I'm paying homage to him a little bit, right?
Yeah. 13 tracks. You'll be performing these again on Sunday, December 18th.
Mm-hmm, at Fourth Presbyterian. There's a 4 o'clock jazz service. Music starts a little before 4 o'clock, and it'll be a combination of lessons and carols. So there'll be music and some congregational participation, and
And you can get the CD at Lucy Smith Jazz.
LucySmithJazz.com. It's also available at iTunes and Amazon. If you go to LucySmithJazz.com, it'll give you all the different options.
So, yeah, I mean, I want to pick up what we were talking about before the break. I mean, yeah, you wake up, and to me, the holidays are, you know, about empathy, inclusion, you know, warmth and decency and stuff. So,
yeah,
John, you had a great analogy there. It's not going to let you screw up your fried chicken and stuff, but it's just, yeah, you just got to find your own path.
Well, that's how I think it goes. Every year for Christmas, people do have to follow their own path and decide, do they want to participate in the holiday or do they not? But you know, the other thing too is Barack Obama is still president right now, so you know, if whatever we're all going to do to deal with this doesn't mean that we can't still participate in a holiday. that we can't still enjoy a book, you know, that we can't laugh at a joke. But whatever we're going to do as citizens to deal with how we feel about this, I think those aren't like one choice or the other. You know, we can do all these things and still care about what's happening with our country, but participate in a holiday, you know.
Lucy, you want to add to that?
I think participation is key. Mm-hmm. So we find our communities in different places. We definitely have community with family. We have community with neighbors and friends. But I think in this time that it's really important that we go beyond our comfort zone. And that, I mean, some people like to volunteer. Some people like to donate. Find a new groove, find a way to, you know, just be a citizen of the world and really communicate and participate in community. I just think it's crucial for our survival.
What do you think the president-elect does on Christmas Eve?
Oh.
I'm touching that, man.
Does he stand in front of Trump Tower and hand out candy?
He'll be on Twitter, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life. Will that have more meaning this year? You know.
You and I kind of joked about how this is kind of like, you know, a combination of two Frank Capra films. This is Mr. Potter Goes to Washington, right?
Yeah. It's you know, we've all seen a lot, but it's pretty overwhelming for me this Christmas to see that static out there. So yeah, I hope we find our own way through.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing. We've got a few more minutes left, so I want to, and this is for both of you. We're going to close the segment out with the Bill Withers tune. So John, you and I talked about this. Talk about this song a little bit. You even sent me the lyrics, and you're probably a Bill Withers fan, right?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. So talk about this song, and it almost goes back to the beginning of the segment where this is something that holds up year round.
Yeah, it's a song that I found on a 45 a long time ago, and the album cover has some kind of Christmas image on it. I don't know if it's a snowflake or a wreath or something, and that kind of drew me in. And the word Christmas is in it, but it really is about taking the good part of Christmas and trying to practice it all throughout the year.
Yeah. Lucy, Bill Withers fan?
Yes, and exponentially.
How'd you come across him?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I have image of when I was really small, when Lean On Me first came out, and we lived in Inglewood, and I was in the – I would always try to figure out how I could do both the background and the lead at the same time for Lean On Me. So that was – I think that was my early introduction to Bill Withers. But then all of his, you know, Grandma's Hands, and I could go on and on.
Great.
And that's that one song where it just keeps modulating, but it just gets more and more just incredible. Yes.
This is a great call. I want to thank you guys for coming in during a snowstorm. Did you enjoy the Hershey's Kisses?
Thanks, Dave. He went all out.
That's your bonus. So have a nice holiday, you guys.
Thanks
and
we'll
see you again. And Dan, let's close this segment out with Bill Withers and Let Us Love.